bother me or bother my sister, I'd fight you, sure. Uh-huh. And they know I would.
Well, Miss Dawes is just lucky that you are not quite as fierce as you was.
Well, I tell her just what the way I feel about things.
Because she's not really done anything to you except
lie
to you.
It's the children.
Yeah.
It's the children that's being hurt.
Yeah.
One thing, I got to get just a little warmth here, and I'll show you one more place out there. I just want you to see it. I want you to tell a play. I can't tell it. You tell about that card.
What card?
What you telling me? I tried to tell it, and I couldn't get it straight. See?
What? Oh, yeah.
He said he told him down there at the board place.
Rambler,
you ain't down. Are you selling at the Rambler place?
I'm not selling cars. I'm working on cars.
What do you mean working on?
I've changed oil and grease cars and put on the exhaust systems and things like that on cars.
Don't tell me.
Well, I didn't know you knew anything about cars.
I'm fixing to quit.
You're fixing to quit.
Uh-huh. I'm going back to Flagler. I'm going to sit down. I'm tired.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's get out of the wind. You're going back to Flagler.
I thought you were selling cars.
No.
Well, on that, but you told them when the gardening season.
Yeah, when I was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Down plant my garden.
Does it light up there?
I quit. I do that on any job, Mr. Myers, that I go to. My garden has got to come first.
That makes sense.
I eat out of my garden. I grow my stuff, so I know how it is growed. I know I ain't get eat no poison. I don't put no damn poison on my vegetables.
You don't.
No, ma'am. And so that's it. That's the reason why I eat out of my garden, because I don't like poison. I'll tell you now the reason why I don't like it. Now they say that poison won't hurt you. I left some insecticides, you know, that I mixed up in water, put two teaspoonfuls, which is very large, smaller than that,
yeah,
and a gallon of water, and
yeah.
I put it in my spray can, and I didn't use it all, and I left it in the spray can about a week, and it takes every damn bit of the enamel off it, and put it rusted. Now, if it'll take the enamel off of anything, it'll take the enamel off on the inside of your belly, too.
I'll tell you something.
Don't you
take the skin off your hide off your hand.
Yeah. And don't you believe that it won't do it?
Golly.
No, there's no two ways about that.
Now, you said the other day down at Fred's store that you knew I was healthy. That's the reason I keep my health. Because I'm darn particular about what I put in here.
And you know. Not about to put any.
No, ma'am. No poison goes in my belly. If it does, it goes. I don't want no hot water. If you fix me some coffee, I don't want none.
You don't drink?
No, sir. Once a day, I drink about a half dozen cups for breakfast, and that's it. Now, if you got whiskey, sure. That's
well,
another thing I do. I drink liquor.
In the early in the day?
Beg pardon?
Early in the day?
A whiskey?
Uh-huh.
Anytime I get it.
Golly.
What
about a little wine?
I'm going to
leave from here and I go to the bar. I buy me a pint of whiskey and I'll drink it today.
Pint?
Yeah.
I'd
sip on it all day long. You'll never know. I go on with my work. Nobody never knows that I'm drinking. I just go sip on it, see. take a little sip. I don't go pour a glass full and turn it up my head and drink it. Now, once in a while, I go by the courthouse, take a little sip. Go on.
Oh, I see.
Until I sip that pint up.
You don't turn it up and gargle it.
No, I don't gargle. don't take a bath in it. I don't think it hurts me. I don't never have a hangover. I never have a headache or nothing like that. I don't never get high. Nothing. I just sip along on my liquor.
Well, people used to take it like that, you see, for medicine.
I ain't taking it for medicine. I take it because I like it. Just because I like to drink.
Well, it gives you a little lift, doesn't it?
And I drank it right there in my yard. I don't go to place. I don't bother nobody with it. Anybody comes in there, wants a beer or drink a liquor or anything like that, I got one.
You keep a little bit?
I keep a little bit. I got some bottles over there at the house. I paid $25 for quarts.
Oh.
But I bought them for the bottle. I got some beautiful bottles. I got tables in my house. I expect got $1,000 worth of bottles on it. You know, different.
Is that right?
Different kind of bottles, old bottles and things like that. I'm a bottle collector.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now this garden, there's a time to put it in.
Yes, ma'am. There's a time to plant anything. If I tell you what, I haven't been doing, Ms. Myers. I haven't been putting down whenever I plant things, you see. So I'm going to do that from this on. It's time to plant peas, and I've done it 2 or 3 times, and not a worm, nothing get on them, not a bug, nothing. Be just plumb perfect all the way through it. In other words, there'd be peas that you would read about, hard ever in the world see, but you just read about them, you see. Well, I got to find out now what them days are, and then I'll find out when to plant them and things like that. Now, these. Now, people tell you that ain't true, but it is true now, because if it hadn't, the worms would get on them that I planted at that day and all like that, and they'll make a frost.
Let me tell you, who will tell you that it ain't true? People that ain't never set foot in a garden will tell you it ain't true.
There are people that Fred Woods over there, he's a good farmer and all like that, but he uses insecticides, a lot of it, too. I know he got the rigs on his tractor to put it out with. People that tell you that cigarettes will kill you, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that cigarettes ain't bitterly against you now, but that's on account of the insecticides they put on them. It ain't the tobacco. People used to. I'm 72 years old, going on 73, and I can remember whenever people smoked all the time, nobody never got it. It never killed nobody then, and nothing like that. And they rolled their own cigarettes. Well, they didn't use insecticide then either, because they didn't have to. The bugs, they wasn't contaminated with bugs like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But now they use it all the time. This poison tobacco, at least twice a month.
To keep
the worms off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they say, that is on the leaf. That's true. But it goes back into the plant, too. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, you take a plant, and you go get liquid fertilized. Don't put none on the ground at all. Just get you a little spray, and spray it right on the leaf. Not where to drip on the ground. And that plant will thrive. It will thrive tremendously. If it didn't go in the plant, where did it get the plant food from? If that fertilizer didn't go in the plant, where did it get the plant food from to make it grow?
Yeah.
Sure.
So whenever you put insecticides on it, it'll do the same thing. Now you go out there and you can take a bush. It's got a hard root on it, a hard bark. Cut it off. Put it in a can. Fill it full of sand, just dry sand, and wet it just a little bit on top. Get you a piece of plastic, put over the top of it, and tie it down there good and tight,
mm-hmm.
and leave it alone. And that plant will take roots. Where'd it get the moisture from?
Mm-hmm.
That plastic will sweat and keep them leaves wet. And it'll go right down that stalk, and it'll make that hardwood take roots. Now, if you don't believe it, you try.
How you pick out your days? Say, now, yesterday, day before, you planted corn.
Well, that is more of an experiment than anything else. I was planting my corn a day before yesterday on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I planted iced potatoes on the 14th, that's Valentine's Day, and I'll make iced potatoes. There'll be some bugs get on my plant, but my potatoes will done be made whenever they get there.
Oh.
They sure will. And I'm burning right now a log heap on my place to put my tomatoes. Yes. I won't plant
them. That's more like it. Say, we used to do that.
I won't plant them about 14 hills of tomatoes, and I'll make all the tomatoes that I want.
Well, you'd make enough for me, too.
Yeah, probably. Because I'll put my six posts, three on each side, nail my feet across it, and run my pieces across it, and let my vines grow up and munch
them. That's
right. When them vines gets up about that high above the other, or about that high, I'll go lay them and put my small cleats there. The top will keep the bottom shaded. They'll never blister.
I want to watch that done. I want to see that.
Well, I fertilize that. I'll get me a gallon bucket, punch me some holes in the bottom of it, go out in the pasture and pick me up a whole lot of cow chips and fill that bucket full of cow chips.
Yeah.
And then whenever I want to fertilize my tomatoes, I get me a cup, like about that much, fill my bucket full.
Mm-hmm.
Get me a cup, pour it, fill it full of water. Let it run on down through the catch it, down the roots of it.
Yeah.
I've never got no grass in it, and no nothing. You see all
the seeds, not there. You don't get the seeds.
Uh-huh.
And then your seeds come up then, and they'll stay there next year.
The fire will kill all my grass seed that I got in the ground now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And kill all the germs and everything, so it won't do nothing, just make tomatoes and grow.
Yeah.
You got to put a little bit of lime up on top of the ground so it'll sweeten your tomato.
Oh,
if you don't, it'll be so sour you can't eat it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
See, I'm going to tell you. This fella I introduced you to up there the other day.
George Marsh.
He knows him.
Don't tell me.
Oh, yeah. Me and George used to work together. George cried character. He's worse than I. He's worse than you think I am.
I don't think. He just waved to me.
Oh, George, good old boy. I think a lot of him. He's mean whenever he gets to drinking.
Oh.
And I'm right the other way. I'm funny whenever I get to drinking. I don't study or raise no rough eyes. I like everybody whenever I get to drink it.
Oh, really?
Well, now,
Ms. Myers, you seen me down that Fred Woods when I was cockeyed drunk. I couldn't stand up hardly.
I sure didn't know that.
No, I know it. Nobody else.
And you drive a car?
Sir.
And just keep on driving the car?
Yes, sir. I drove my car from home, from Gainesville, driving through Gainesville. All the way home, driving my car house whenever I couldn't walk. Whenever I got there.
You know, that's hard to believe, my friend.
Well, you ask my wife. Maybe you'll believe her.
You didn't even scratch it going in the garage.
No, sir. I don't do that.
But now, old George.
He gets a little mean?
George gets pretty rough.
Oh.
Don't understand me saying now that he ain't a good man, because he
is. Oh, no.
He's a darn good fellow. I like him very much.
What was that? You told me something about George.
He's got a first-class engineer's license.
Yeah.
You know, he's a first class engineer. He was once the merchant marine.
Oh.
And you have to have a good license to be a merchant marine.
Yeah. Huh. That's what he come here with.
Yeah. He come here. him and Willie Wilson was good buddies, and both of them was on merchant marine and found one another on merchant marine. They're both of them from
Boston,
Massachusetts.
Huh.
And they come here together and went out to the University Heating Power Plant and got them a job out there. And the both of them working together. And it's like George told Mr. Meyer, he started at the top and come down.
Worked his way down.
That's right. And instead of working, starting at the bottom and working up, like the biggest push people does, he started at the top and worked his way down. George knows that his drinking and hell raising is a cause for being where he's at. He knows it.
Oh.
He knows it very well. He ain't crazy. That man's got buku's sense. But he just gonna booze a little bit.
Well, now, when he boozes, what does he do? What can you do around here?
You can raise a lot of hell in Gainesville.
Can you?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
You don't know the nightlife in Gainesville.
No.
Boy, you get out of these on the outskirts of town and some of these jerks ain't got no windows in it, just one door. You can raise a lot of cane in there.
And he's familiar around those places.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, one thing he told me, he used to come in on the ship over there at Jacksonville, and he'd buy him a little piece of land. And then out there at Navy base, air base.
Green Coast Springs?
Someplace there.
He had a little place out there at Melrose.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah. Had him a little trailer on it. He lost it somewhere or another. I don't know how he done it. But he never cries over spilt milk. Don't ever think he regrets anything.
They go in there and get your coat, and we'll go out there. I got one more little turn I want to take.
We got
other spear on.
He never.
Just keep seeing.
No, I'm a hot one. I got to hurry back that brush heap. I don't want to burn my shanty down.
Well, let me tell you. While she's in there. That stomach thing, I've been thinking about that ever since, and I don't quite see how that works.
What's that? You walk up to him sometime and tell him to hit you with his stomach.
Yeah.
He'll hit you.
Yeah.
Get up close to him.
And away you go.
Big part?
And away you go.
And away you go. There ain't no joke about that.
Well, where in the hell did he learn anything like that?
I just a gift from him, I reckon, Mr. Myers, I don't know.
Yeah.
I imagine he just kind of, man, you got everything, speakers and everything.
Yeah, else. Well, I got these two old battered radios, television sets, neither one of them can hardly see them. I'm going to throw them away. I'm tired looking at them. I'm tired of the programs, and I'm tired that they wobble all the time. You got a good one over there.
No, mine ain't no good now. It's cockeyed old, and the fine tuning is gone on it, and a technician says they can't get one, so I'm going to get the model number and all and write RCA to build me one, because my radio is a nice box, it's a nice radio.
Yeah.
It has been a splendid radio, and it's a good big screen.
Yeah.
And you get a beautiful picture whenever it's working, but it ain't working on the kind of fine tuning.
Yeah.
I'm going to write them and ask them, are they available?
You know, I've been, I hadn't seen old George. I didn't just saw him the last week, month or two. He fishes.
Oh, yeah, he fishes. George stick his hand in anything.
Well, I thought I'd tell him if he wanted to come out here and try to find a fishing hole, he could do it.
You know, George has got two girls back in Massachusetts.
No.
Both of them is grown. One of them married. And, one of them was down here for a long time. I don't know where she's married. I'd imagine she is. And I think her name is Clara. I think his baby daughter. and have supper at night.
Yeah. Okay. I'm up to it. Let me get what I do in the jacket. Here it is. Say? Oh, I want you to go with me if you will.
The Almos. I don't know, you know, I call her name several times when you was down at the house.
Uh-huh.
You know, so right. I don't know, here of lately I've been, look like every time I go to say something, I say Mrs. Almo. I said, I'm going to just send her a card.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about it.
Well.
I don't think about it that much. But every now and again, you know, just look like I go to call somebody and I call her name.
Who was you working for when you had that toothache?
I was waiting for Miss Almo one time.
Oh.
Or when I couldn't get a dentist on the weekend.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her, and she took me to her dentist that Monday.
Well, now the dentist is right across the street.
Mm-mm. Well, you must be talking about the first time I ever had toothache.
Was
I was working. Meacham's restaurant in West Palm Beach on Detour.
West Palm Beach.
Mm. On Detour.
Yeah.
I woke up, my tooth was hurting, and I went to work that morning, mad with everybody because I had toothache.
Lord, yes.
I mean, it was hurting. My face was swollen. And I went in the kitchen, and I was saying, good morning, Shoemaker. We called everybody in there, it was named Shoemaker. Good morning. So Jimmy looked at me. He said, what's the matter with you? I said, I got toothache this morning. So they'd be talking. I said, don't question me. Don't say nothing. You don't have to get mad with us. But it kept hurting, so I didn't change words with anybody. Now, that's where I used to make all the rolls and everything. I changed my clothes and walked right straight through the dining room, went up to the desk. Said, Mr. Carter. He said, yes, Bessie. I said, I'm sorry, I have toothache and I gotta go to the dentist. So I think it was $2 or $3 or something to pull a tooth. So he gave me $3. And I came on out. Before when I got to the dentist, it had stopped hurting.
Well,
and I got to the door, I said, my tooth didn't stop hurting. I don't see why I should go in there and let him pull a tooth. And I started out to go, because I lived across the street from there. And I don't know, I went back there and I peeked in the room and saw all of this apparatus he had. And I said, no, all this mess can't go in my mind. I can't get in that chair to all that. And Dr. Terror wasn't in there. But he was where he could see me. And just as I started to push the door open to walk out, he pushed me. He said, wait a minute. Where do you think you're going? I said, you wait. Don't rush me. So he started laughing. I said, the first thing I want to know, if you're going to hurt me. And the next thing, how much you're going to charge. He said, Bessie, you've always been crazy. I said, I'm not laughing. Seeing my face was swollen.
He didn't have to ask you what was wrong.
No, he didn't have to ask me. But I had an abscess. See what caused it to swell.
Oh, yeah.
So he set me in the chair. I said, don't be rushing me, Dr. Terrell. Now, you know, I'm a sickness thing. I said, from the picture, it looked like what they put the people in the fish and they electrocuted them. So he just laughed. But he had to let that pus out of that gum, out that abscess. And he said, now, I'm going to wait a few minutes and use your spit. So I guess he was killing nerves in that gum once. And then he pulled it. I went home. He said, I just washed my mouth with some warm, lukewarm salt water. Now they don't want you to wash your mouth. Want to pack your gums.
Oh.
A dentist in New York packed my gum once and I like it went crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all that cotton, that the flesh grew up over that cotton and all that information and everything was in there.
Yeah.
And I made 3 trips down there and Miss English kept calling the lady that I was working for. Then the painters in there to say he was away on a vacation. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But her daughter kept going down there, and they never did see him. And I used peroxide, just would hold peroxide on it. And that way in the night, just like something hot, running, you know, I could feel it running down. And I opened my mouth and just pulled the wastebasket, and all this stuff just come out.
Mm. Well, Bessie, I thought that that was the time that you just let him pull a whole lot of your teeth.
Well, Doctor, I only had Doctor Friedman, which was Mrs. Armour's dentist.
Yeah.
He just pulled one. Doctor Colley pulled one, and this Doctor Carroll. Those 3 teeth was all on this side. That's why I have this partial up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I have all my teeth up to the top except those 3. And he cleaned my teeth and all that he, you know, found that cavities was coming, he filled them. He filled 3 and cleaned them, cleaned my teeth. He said those 3 teeth could be saved. But now the time, he pulled them all.
Yeah.
It was down here in Ocala.
Yes.
I had 2 things. It was my wisdom tooth.
Wow.
Down to the bottom. And I didn't know which. I thought it was the one next to the wisdom tooth. I didn't know it. And it almost run me crazy. And so I just told him, he said, what I said, I want you to pull them all out. So he said, now which one do you think is hurting? And I caught myself putting my finger on the one ear, and he said, that tooth is not hurting you. He said, it's your wisdom tooth. That's when he had to grind down around it. And it had the longest root. He said, it had some kind of root, they call them.
Yeah.
He said, I haven't seen one with a root like this in years.
So you said
I had them all pulled out across. I said, well, I won't have to worry about none of the bottom hurting no more.
So you just let him go ahead and take the rest of them out?
Mm-hmm.
Good ones and all.
That did the good ones and all. I just let him take them all out because I didn't know when they was going to hurt.
And that was down here at Ocala?
Yeah, Dr. Hamilton.
Well, now, how far along was that when you done that? That's way before you went to New York.
Mm-hmm. Since we've been living back here. I was taking care of Ms. Merckx.
Oh, that's just been recently.
I was taking care of Ms. Merckx. I woke up with toothache. And I think I called him and told him I had toothache and I had to go to a dentist. At least it started hurting before then. I had toothache all that day. And I called a dentist from over there. I called Dr. Hamilton. And he told me to be in there the next morning at 9 o'clock. So I was there before 9. And my face was all swollen out. You know, it didn't swell up again. I said, Mr. Ken, nothing stay in my head and hurt me like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had trouble with wisdom tooth, but I have known people who have, and I don't want any of that trouble.
Well, they always say a wisdom tooth. I've always heard it. They say a wisdom tooth is the worst tooth to pull.
You can't get them out. Yeah.
They can get them out, but they don't come out as easy as the other teeth. But that was the longest root, and it had an abscess on it.
Oh, your wisdom tooth had an abscess.
Yeah. And he didn't show me the one I thought was hurting. I said, now you have to pull the other one next to it. He said, yeah, that tooth laying on there, been laying on there.
What's the first time you ever saw Miss Bootsy?
Who Miss Bootsy? Bootsy used to stay with Aunt Dancy?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Bootsy. We all used to go up there to make it up to school together.
Oh, did we?
Mm-hmm. Didn't know nothing about her being no pie.
No.
What was Bootsy's name? I forgot, now it's been so long. So when I come in, they say Mariah Pie. I said, who in the world is Mariah Pie? And they told me, Nettie, see, Nettie and I is crazy. We don't do to go in no place together. Rehearsal, church, and no place. Because if anybody say anything, it doesn't sound just right. She won't look where I am, won't look back at me if I'm doing the choir stand. Because she figures, she said, I'd be thinking the same thing I'm thinking, and I won't. Now, Boots, we all used to go to school. She had two brothers, John and Charlie.
I saw one of them. I saw John. He come up from Tampa. Or was it?
John was dark.
Fort Myers.
Dark like Boots. Charlie was brown skinned. He was supposed to be a preacher, I think.
Yeah. But he come up after, he was here when she died.
Yeah. That was Charlie.
That was Charlie?
Mm-hmm. When they were kind of a brown skin, when he was lighter than Bootsy, right?
I guess he was.
That was Charlie.
Yeah. Well, was she always had something crooked to say?
Oh, ever since I knowed her.
Always.
Always.
Now, when I got down here, she had already started on the bottle.
On the bottle?
Yes.
Well, you see, when she was going to school, we didn't know nothing about that bottle. They used to walk from down, wherever they stayed down in here, you know, up to making up with the school.
Yeah.
And we used to come, you know, a lot of us, when we'd be walking back up here to Cousin Mag's up on Boykin Hill. Let's see, everybody be walking along together.
So a lot of the time when I'd see her down here, you couldn't hardly hear what she said. But a lot of times you could. And I don't know. I sort of took to Miss Bootsy.
You know, she was fine. I don't know where she got that drinking habit from, because when I knew her, she didn't drink.
Yeah. She used to be a Sunday school teacher.
When?
She used to be superintendent of this Sunday school.
What superintendent? Who could let her be a superintendent? She didn't know nothing about no being no superintendent. What's that church? Up here to Mount Elam?
Yeah.
Where they had her funeral?
Yeah. Told me that.
I don't know.
Well, I think that's pretty well known. Seems to me that maybe Daisy told us, or maybe Bessie told us. I don't know.
Well, is it?
But I mean, the area. It was true. She worked in the church. She was a good worker.
She was a good worker, but I never known her to be a. Of course, she could have. Of course, I wasn't around here. I won't say it. But who in the world gonna let her be a superintendent? And she don't know.
Anyway.
Well, she down there, Miss Bessie, she subscribed to the paper, and when I go down there at supper night, she'd be sitting there reading the paper.
Well, that's all right about reading the paper. That don't say she could be a superintendent.
Well, if she can read the paper, she can read what a superintendent reads.
You know yourself, a superintendent is calls for a lot of work.
Yeah, that's right. And you got to be there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, if she was a superintendent, I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Well, a whole lot of the time when she was going on here, you see, you was away somewhere else. Now, like, she used to work over there with Jim Means and that sweet potatoes, you see. She did that.
And that's all she ever did was farm work. No more than go up there and wash Miss Patterson's dishes or clothes or something, clean up up there.
Yeah.
I've never known her to do any other work outside of farm work.
Not if she could help it.
No, she could have, but I never known her to be no. She might have been some tender now.
I always think how nice it'd be if we could just sort of put in a field of sweet potatoes, and you know what you do. You cure them, and you, by the time you put in the next crop, you got some of your old crops still there, you see. You're still eating on them. And selling on them, too.
I don't know if it's something in the soil or... You can't keep potatoes now like you used to.
I don't know what it is. I don't it's
you know, now when you say bank a potato, you don't even have to bank it. You can keep a potato here, then you pick it up, you know, your fingers just go through it almost.
Yeah.
Like it's been cooked.
They say it's just no commercial fertilizer. They don't...
Well, years ago, people didn't know what using fertilizer was.
No. Potatoes to make without it.
Mm-hmm. Anything, you know, beans and things used to grow. All they do go in, they'd plow them and hoe them and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But now is everything is fertilized. Yeah. I said they wonder about cancer. I say it's all of this different fertilizer and stuff that they're putting around the foods and it's getting into them.
Doing so much of it. Well, you know, this old Spanish moss.
Oh, and I think it's a sin to kill it. It has always been so pretty.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, you know, all the northern people, you know, always admire that moss on the trees. They think it's the prettiest thing. And it is. Now they're finding out that it's, what is it? Some kind of disease or pollution or something. Something might kill all this Spanish moss.
Hmm.
I said, why, you know, all of these years moss been hanging on the trees, now they got to kill it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen them, they don't even like to hang up there because it'll fall down on the ground and make a mess. Now that's too bad, isn't it?
People too devilish lazy now to do anything.
You get your car washed?
No, I'm going home taking my clothes. Yeah, there's a piece that didn't fell on the table over here.
It is really good.
I don't know what I want. I made a lemon pie. See, and I had enough crust for two pies over to the house. One day I said to Jenna, I said, you know, gee, I'd just love to have me a piece of lemon pie or even chocolate pie. She said, oh, Bessie, how I would love a piece of lemon meringue pie. So I surprised her. Wasn't any cornstarch over there. I took cornstarch from home. And she used this whole wheat flour, one thing, and I made the crust. Because if it had been just plain white flour, Pillsbury or gold medal, I could have used that for, you know, for cornstarch. So I made the crust. I said, well, I have enough left for another pie one day. I said, some kind of open face pie. It'd have to be. That wasn't enough for two, you know, a double crust. And when she came home from school, she like had a fit. Oh, she said, that's. And they ate all the pie from the mother that night. She said, Mommy came home, so I kept going in the room, telling her, Mommy, it's a piece of pie in the kitchen for you, a big piece. So she said, mm-hmm. She said, now I know Jenna the one who did it. She'd run back in there and get her piece. So she'd go in, she said, Mommy, it's a big piece of pie in the kitchen for you. So she said, mm-hmm. She said, I'll get it later. And she didn't go on in and gotten another piece. Maybe... The other, because Eric, I'd made a cake one, and Eric done cut it all up like he want to cut it. And I said, your mother didn't get enough pie. She said, no, best of the last time when I told mom it's a little piece of pie in the kitchen. So she said, eat it.
You know, especially every time we get talking, I learn something from you. I never had heard of that goldberry switch. That's the very first time I ever learned of that.
Rap Jack.
That Rap Jack that they used to play with.
No, sir, I hadn't even heard.
And that's something they don't break.
It.
They don't break easily, you know, when you get them green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They take their pocket knives and go out and cut them.
Yeah.
But they braided them, too. So
yeah.
They were about how wide would they be?
Sometimes they take, excuse me, two or three of them, you know, and get them all wrapped around. They wasn't no way for them to break easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy,
oh,
and they'd have on them old long, full skates, and they'd have them. Six of them and all that stuff, and the men would be padded too because they know the women could hit hard.
Yeah.
He used to sit down and watch him.
And you suppose you couldn't hit up to
no,
high.
No, you couldn't go up this way.
Yeah, you,
no, you know, just around the body, around here.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have on four or five sweaters and you know, the shirts and their coats and things. They'd feel it, but it wouldn't be like if they just had on a sweater and a coat or a shirt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play it, because, you see, I don't know, you know, even though with children, I didn't do too much playing with children, because I was too quick. I would be quick to get angry. Too
yeah.
Get mad too quick.
Yeah. What's the angriest you ever was?
The angriest I ever was? I think, I don't know. I guess it was the night I hit my husband.
You were so angry you didn't know what you were doing.
I don't remember hitting him.
I was thinking.
I got angry with Tom once.
Yeah.
But boy, he got out of my way.
Yeah, he knew better.
He got out of my way but fast. And I went in the room and sat down and cried. I was so mad till I cried.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to say to him for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Well, now you see, I like Tom. But if I had to live with him, I might not. He got some of them habits. Now, he can listen to the television.
And the radio. I'd go in there and say, why don't you turn one of these things off? I said, because you can't listen to the TV and watch the TV, listen to the radio, and read a paper all the same time.
And smoke. Chew on that pipe or a cigar.
That just tickled Big Christy yesterday. She looked in his room, and he's standing up there with this pipe in his mouth. And she just screamed and hollered. She just laughed. And I said, well, she said, look at Bessie, look at Bessie, look at Tom Bessie.
She hadn't seen anything like that.
He said, what's the matter with Chris? I said, this cigar you got in your mouth was pipe. Yes, man. She said, look at Bessie, look at Bessie, look at Tom Bessie. Oh, boy. I said, well, let's go home now. Do we have to go home now, Bessie?
They'd just rather stay with you.
Well,
I said, yes, we have to go home. So Dina said, you promised to take us to the park. I said, I can't take you to the park today. I said, I told you I had to come home. I had the butter in the pan since Monday and I had to use it. And I said, Jenna and Nation, Eric will be home soon. I said, we got to go see about a little supper. I said, it'll be time for Sesame Street by the time we get home. So see, I mean, you know, I love to sit down and watch Sesame Street and the
well,
Electric
now,
Company and
does,
Mr. Rogers, you know.
Does Tom like the same programs you do on television?
Mm-mm. And it don't be nothing on television for now. No, we don't. What I like to watch, in fact, he just have it on, reading the paper. And if it's a football game on radio, he got the radio going, listening to that. basketball or something like that. And sometimes he called himself turning the radio low to listen to the TV, and he would forget about it, be turned so low. And I said, Tom, did you leave that radio on? He said, one night he had it out, you know, it's we have an outside plug on the back. I don't know why Lloyd wouldn't put one on the front, but he put one on the back. And he takes the radio out there and plug it in. I said, you're furnishing the community with music. And I didn't, you know, pay it any attention. It was kind of cool, I guess, because I had my window closed. He had it. I kept hearing it, but I thought it was from some of them jukes. See, from the street over, I can hear it. They played the Don Piccolo's that loud. And I said, somebody got the TV or the radio or the church turned up mighty loud. I said, well, unless it's coming from over there, the alleys. That's two streets north of me. And I happened to get up to go in the bathroom. And I kept hearing this. It was turned kind of low. Sound like I could hear music and I could hear voices. It's somebody out here talking, and they have a radio. And I noticed Rex wasn't barking. So no, if anybody's out there, you'd know it. And then I got right to the window. I didn't put the light on. I pulled the drape back, and I said, but don't Tom, they leave the radio out there all night. So I called. I said, Tom. He said, huh? I said, do you know you left that radio going out there all night long? Oh, I forgot it.
He owned up.
He got up and went out and got it and turned it off.
Yeah.
And that's all I say to him.
Well, now, he don't even have to eat when anybody else eats.
Mm-mm. He eats, and I eat one time and eat another. I don't know when did he eat last night? No, he ate before I did because I cooked this cabbage and I wanted, you know, some of the cabbage. And I wanted some cornbread at least, where I haven't been eating salt and it didn't look like to me the baking powder. I could taste the baking powder or something.
But you do cook for him.
Yeah, I'll cook sometimes. He mostly be well, see, what I wanted to eat, he wanted to eat something else. And now, my hamburger, I don't like bread in it. And I don't put salt in my meat. And he want a lot of salt, a lot of pepper. Well, I can't have it. And so I just let him make his own.
Sure.
And he like this chipped beef.
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't eat it because it's, you know, that cream sauce on it, you know, the flour and the milk. And I like it, but then it's salty. And I just let him go ahead and fix it and put it on his toes himself.
Yeah.
But whatever I cook enough for him. If he want to eat it. If he don't eat it, it won't be thrown out. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I can eat too good. Now, he want some lamb shanks. He said he intended to take them out last night and was going to put them in the oven early this morning. He said, take 3 hours of cooking. I said, don't take no 3 hours of cooking. Nobody's lamb shank. So I happened to think about it after, when you call.
Oh.
And I said, I said, well, I just finished to get up and fix some lamb shanks or something other. And I went in and took them out. I left them on the sink. So maybe he put them in. But see, he puts a lot of water on them and they cook too. And he cook them all until they. Now, I can't eat them because he cooks all the substance out of them. He cook them too dry. And I don't want to do all that pulling. Because he asked me, Bess and I, when you fix your, I get turkey wings. And I'll get maybe two wings and a thigh. And I'll bake them. So he had a couple, he had put a couple of chicken backs in there with my turkey wings. So I just washed them and I said, do you know you had two wings in here? He said, well, I just stuck them in there. I said, well, I'll just stick them in the oven along with the wing and the thigh that I have. He said, okay. So when I cooked them, and before I went to church, I turned the fire to 325 that they wouldn't cook fast, you see. And when I got back home, see, they were done. And he said, Bessie, how do you cook yours? He said, they're juicy in the taste. I said, well, I don't cook them to death. I said, one thing, you have the fire too high. I said, then you put, you do you putting the water on? I said, just about a half a cup of water. I said, I mostly let the steam cook them, you know. Uh-huh. And I said, I don't put a lot of water on them. So now, if he's home, he didn't put them shanks on.
Yeah.
I had some short ribs I took out. I'm going to fix them tomorrow because I didn't go to town today. I was supposed to go and go over to Blanche's.
But he stays at home, right, Mark, don't he? Some of them, you know, I seem like they're on going all the time.
Now that man goes, but he don't bother about going out all that much. He'll go to Gainesville. Now he had gone up to La Crosse, you know, he was sitting to go when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
He was going up to La Crosse.
Yeah.
I know he put the shanks in there and pile up in the bed. Now I can't lay down. When I get up in the morning, that settles it. I don't go back to it.
You mean he puts something on to cook and then piles up in bed?
He'll put it in the oven and get on in the bed till so he's going to take a nap.
And leave
oh,
it to
man, I'd never
get
anything to
eat. Now, he might, you know, if he turned it low. Now, he might, I mean, just might wait till I come home.
Yeah.
And because there's some sour cream there, and I had bought a piece of corned beef here the other week, and I cooked it. And so he'd been eating sandwich, or he said he was going to save that corned beef to nibble off today. And the sour cream. So he'll wait, maybe. So then I'll go home and I'll take my clothes in. I'll put them. If he didn't put them on, I'll put them on.
Was Miss Bessie always as cultured as, you know, she was always sort of cultured since I've known her.
You know, Mr. Miles, ever since I can remember her as my aunt, because the first time I had ever seen my aunt to know anything about her, I guess I was about, no, my sister says she was about 7. I must have been about 4. I'd never seen her before. Then we never seen her again until 1929.
Oh.
She'd come here, and she'd come right over here to cut mags, but she wouldn't come to Palm Beach.
Oh, yeah.
So Miss Lyra Harrison, would all when she'd come home, she'd always come back and tell Mama. See, you know, Bess is up to see Miss May. Down to see Miss May. She said, my mama said, what Beth? She said, your sister Beth. We didn't let it work because she didn't come down that side. But she came down in 29 to West Palm Beach. Now that was the first time we've seen her since I was about 4 years old.
have them good manners?
Yes, I know she's like she is. Because she's supposed to. I let Aunt Bessie have that. Aunt Bessie owed me more money before she died. Barring. Never paid me back. Mm-hmm. Oh, did they tell you Sonny's mother died?
No.
Did Debbie, you forgot
no,
this.
No.
Mm-hmm. He kept saying, as soon as I get in Vietnam, I'm going to have to come right back. It hurt me so bad when he told me, he said, "Can Bessie, I begged Mom to go to the doctor. See, now she is the only one that can keep me in the States. See, she'll have to go to the hospital and go to the doctor and let him sign this paper of her condition."
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way I can stay in the United States. So he told them, he said he didn't care where they sent him, any, just as long as he'd be in the United States, that his mother was sick. Because
mm-hmm.
he was in England when his father passed.
Mm-hmm.
So he just knew it was his mother. Because she was always sick.
Sure.
And his father was never sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he left North Dakota, New Hampshire. On, he said, he told me when he was here, he said, "I am to leave on the 9th
mm-hmm.
of September. For Thailand."
And that's where he was?
That's where he is now.
Did he come back?
He came back for the services,
uh-huh.
but he had to rush right back.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you see how I knowed, Robert hasn't called me or written me yet. Nor Calvin. Fanny called me the same Saturday that they was burying Lily's husband. She called me that night. And she said, "Bessie," she said, I said, "Fanny," you know, when she said
uh-huh.
"Bessie," I caught her voice. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I just called to tell you they buried Bernice Thursday." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah. She died. They had to wait until Sonny could come."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She died that Sunday night. And you see, she had lost her sight. She was diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said she had complication disease, or diabetic, and she'd lost her sight. She had an enlarged heart.
Well, Sonny, I think, must have known that she...
Mm-hmm. He didn't feel that she was going to get well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he begged her so hard. I said, "Well, Sonny," he said, "my only hope now is if Mom will come and have it." So when he wrote, of course I told him, I said, "Well, maybe she just rather you not be around. She just idolized Robert." And tell me, that's him talking to the cow, right?
Yeah, he's talking to Molly, I think. Yeah.
And she said, "Bernice had gone in the..."
I want to show you all something out here. It's so pretty. It's pretty nice outside.
Yeah. We know it is. It was out there.
I want to show you this old cow. You never saw a cow like this.
You haven't had that. I cut that for you.
No,
you?
Not all of this.
Not yet. This is the.
You made this?
No, Debbie and her mother gave that to us for Christmas.
Did you help make it?
Oh, I'm afraid not. But I think it's one of the best ones I ever tasted.
You know, I used to make all of my fruit cakes, but after Tom stopped eating them, I stopped making.
And you know, some of the fancy bought ones, you know, they make so many. This one is a.
Put your hat on.
Absolutely.
You don't get in the sun.
That is the cutest hat I ever saw. It really is. It looks like Palm Beach.
Sister said she went and left them all in the closet. After they sold the house.
Yeah.
Whew.
Oh, Betsy.
Well, sometimes it just acts up, Miss.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yard.
Sounds right around 1,000 in the visit of Little Bessie with Debbie this Saturday, the 2nd of February, 1974. Channel 2 right around 1,000 in the visit with Little Bessie with Debbie this Saturday, the 2nd of February, 1974. Tied up again. I'm a goddamn. I get you loose and you get tied up again.